everyone, and welcome back to Phone Show Chat. It's show 882, and it's bang slap centre middle of February in 2026. Joe, you're with me as usual. Hello, matey.
How are you doing? It feels like it's been ages, doesn't it? Because we had quite a few together, and then we had a little break.
Yeah, that's
back
true.
Back to the fortnightly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But we are talking possibly about a catch-up show next week, and we might be doing a bit of an experimentation on the Teams call there, and we'll come to that and let everyone know what we're suggesting we might do next week. But in the meantime, back to the present, and it's Ian Furlong. You're joining us once again, Ian. Welcome to you.
Hello. Hi, Ted. Hi, Joe.
How are you doing?
I cannot remember how long it is since you were on the show. Have you got any concept
of
that?
It's nearly a year.
Oh,
it was May last year.
Was it? Right. And can you remember then what phone was your primary SIM in?
It was a S24 Ultra.
S24 Ultra. Okay, we'll come to Guest Gala in a minute. We can hang our thoughts on that one. In the meantime, just a few reminders of things like phoneshowchat.uk being our website. That's two S's in the middle. And the MeWe group, where we scoop up stuff. TedSalmon.com is where you can go if you get lost with anything. And all of that stuff is also on Podhub UK. I've also just today signed up Steve Nutt, our listener who has a sight impairment. Sorry, he has no sight. And he's going to join us at the end of March for a show. So it's good to have him on back on board as well. Now, a bit of feedback, Joe. And it seems that you were right. Marek, which I've always said Paulowski, is actually pronounced Pawłowski, he says, where W is V and L is W. And in defiance of logic, the second W is ignored, because I think it should be, going by the rules, Pawłowski.
The second W is a silent V.
Exactly. So, and I challenged him with that, and he said, yes, he agrees, it's wrong. But he dared not defile the memory of his late Polish grandmother, who said it was so.
Yes, best not to do that.
We've got to say Pawłowski. Is that right? Pawłowski, yeah.
Pawłowski, so, yeah.
Sorry, Marek. I hope we fix that. And also, a quick note for Jeremy Harpham and his appeal for data and interest from the members of the group to come to pub meets. He's trying to pull that data together. He's got I'll put a URL link to the post in MeWe in the show, where he's got his email address, and you can get in touch with him and tell him if you're interested in coming to a pub meet and where you are and how often you might want to do that, and what your thoughts are on it. So that will be in the show notes. And lastly, from the feedback section, is Steve Litchfield on the Nokia N8 Reborn. And this is something that he has found online, where somebody has found a way of rejuvenating the Nokia N8 from back in 2012, where it was. Anyway, audio clip. I'll plug him in now, and he can tell you himself what it's all about and what his thoughts are on it and the limitations and how much of a nerd you need to be to do it.
I wanted to send in this short audio clip by way of retro smartphoning. People who listened to PSC back in 2010 will remember the Nokia N8. Nokia's fastest to that date full-screen touch Symbian phone with a class-leading camera, 12 megapixel with unbelievable quality ANSI and flash. And it was kind of abandoned by Symbian themselves and Nokia themselves back in 2012, 2013, when the 808 was out and they were transitioning to Windows Phone. But the big news 16 years later is that there's a new custom firmware called Nokia N8 Reborn, and I'll give you the website for this first of all. AVALIBEYAZ. Yes, I know that sounds dodgy, so whatever I said, AVALIBEYAZ.com/S3/. And the highlight here is that all of the stuff that doesn't work on the old Symbian handsets in 2016 has kind of been ripped out or worked around. Their aims in creating this firmware, and I should emphasize it's just for the N8 at present. They haven't got plans to do an 8.0.8 version, but then the 8.0.8 kind of had mostly working things through the Delight custom firmware, which I've got installed on mine. So back to the N8, their aims were creating something that was future-proof and that could be kept up to date via a working 2026 online services bridge, removing all the bits that no longer work from Nokia, avoiding any problems when installing and running apps and games, none of that certificate errors and date wrong and so forth, all worked around. Full HTTPS internet access, so modern protocols. A long battery life and stability, well, we'll see how that goes. I have got an N8 here and I can try this if I want to. So a custom firmware that's free from vulnerabilities. The Delight custom firmware had one called Delightmare, which is a lovely name. And this is free from that. And the features, things like, I'll just dip into a long change log. You can read it at the URL. Almost 300 megabytes storage free on disk C now with this stripping down, this streamlining. So all SIS files can be installed without any problems. I've got a whole library on my site at stevelitchfield.com and you can no doubt find your others. Full use of Java apps as well and widgets, no confirmation messages, no security warnings. Obviously wide open, but of course all of this is at your own risk anyway. Added camera improvements, added music player improvements. So this is this Nokia N8 Reborn. I should emphasize, and there is a video linked on the site I've just listed, where an excellent Australian guy, I think he is, goes through how to install it and some of the pros and cons. I should emphasize, as with any custom firmware project, these things are fiddly. You cannot just do this in half an hour and move on with your life. This requires you to delve deep into Windows 10 and getting the old Phoenix flashing software working and working around Windows driver issues and plugging in your N8 and seeing a few blue screens and working around them and fiddling and patching and whatever. Hours and hours and hours of work. But at the end of the day, if you've got an old N8 and you fancy a really geeky challenge and you find that you'll end up with a bit of a curiosity that you can use in 2026, but you wouldn't want to use as a main phone. This is purely a vanity and geek and fun project. Then, yeah, I think N8 Reborn is well worth looking at. And hopefully the guys behind it tackle a few more of the Symbian handsets of the time. The E7 in particular with the cantilevered QWERTY keyboard. That will be quite cool to see that bang up and running in 2026. There we are. So, yeah, N8 Reborn recommended for a look for anyone who's got a Nokia N8 kicking around in a drawer.
Thanks very much, Steve. That's really cool. One of the things I noticed when I looked at the specs of the Nokia N8 was that it takes a mini SIM card. And so I reminded myself, and I put a picture of the different card sizes in our recording notes here so you can see and remind yourself too. But it's not the last size, which was the micro SIM. It was the one before that. So It's going to have a giant SIM card inside of the phone if you do have one. I don't know. That it sounds like it's a lot of geeky fun and no doubt, you know, gnashing of teeth to try and get this work. But it, you know, why not? It's an interesting project. Any thoughts, Ian?
Don't stone me, but I've never owned a Nokia phone.
Really?
A Nokia smartphone. Yeah.
And wow.
Medline. I'll come on to Medline when I go through my bit, because I've had what can only be described as an unmitigated disaster with trying to meddle with phones this week.
Okay. we'll look forward to that then. And Joe, any thoughts from you on the Nokia N8 and that little project?
I mean, likewise, I've never used one, but I love this. I love reborn phones from the past. Sounds like Steve's toying with doing it himself, but yeah, a lot of fiddling around. I don't think I'd get someone else to do it for me. I would.
Mike Warner comes to mind, and he usually rescues us from this stuff. But yeah, it sounds really interesting, Steve. So let us know how you get on. Steve will be coming back on the show sometime this year. So we'll quiz you then and see what's going on. Okay, straight into guest gala then. Ian, the floor is yours. Use it as you wish, as long as you want or as short as you want. And what do you want to talk about?
Okay, thanks, Ted. Just a bit of history, really. Couldn't believe it. It's 20 years I've been part of Cool Smartphone, right back to the beginning with Lee, bless him, with the original Orange SPV. I remember having that phone on an updated contract. Went online. There was only one website that even mentioned it or had anything to do with it, with writing ROMs and how you put apps in, and that was Lee's site, which was Cool Smartphone, obviously. And I started writing about, I'd say about 15 years ago. I'm the main sort of writer now, Ant's in the background running all the servers, pulling the levers and etc. Gary's moved on to Pastures New, which is a shame. I do miss him. And that's sort of the history there, 20 years still going. Phone-wise,
I did have a, before you go on, I did have a look at the website today, and I noticed that I'd forgotten, actually, that you used to do a podcast over there. And the the last one I saw there was from 2020, so you're 6 years late.
We did, and we had a number of writers. We had Mobile Man Dan, we had Mark Peters, James Pierce, we had Nirav. We had a few, and obviously things change, people move on, and that's where we are at the moment, sort of website wise, or just getting stuff in for a view.
Bravo to you, Ian, doing it for the 20 years.
It isn't. There's an affinity with it, because any sort of revenue that's generated from ads goes to Lee's son, so that's why I do it. I get not a thing from the website, nothing from writing, but Lee's son, anything that's sort of over our costs all goes to Lee's son, and that's the way it's got to be, really. It's his legacy and to keep it going.
So for those that don't know, just a brief sentence or two about who Lee is and what the background is.
Lee Gears, he obviously started Cool Smartphone. If you go back in our archives, I went on to a brilliant website. I don't know if people use it, but if you go onto the Internet Archive, you can search any old site up. So I've gone back over time. We had a look at different logos we used, and Lee's got had his own unique way of writing, real sort of comedy, not funny writing, but writing that was how you chat to your mate down the pub sort of thing. He used to do little video clips from his car, and unfortunately, during COVID, he passed away. So I think that was about 2020 he passed away, and we've just kept it going since.
Yeah, okay. Just so that those that are new to PSC might not know that bit of background. So is there any hope that you might be doing a podcast again, or with just yourself, you think it's unlikely?
I think it's unlikely at the moment. Obviously, there's myself and Ant. If you know, I'd have to speak to Ant, but if we get other people writing for us, that would be great. So let's make it grow a bit more. We grow it more, Lee's son gets more money.
Cool. Okay.
And that's not a plea in any way, shape or form, but that's just the way it is.
Yep, sure. Okay.
Phone-wise, my main sim's in my Galaxy Z Fold 6. Unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, well and truly indoctrinated in the Samsung ecosystem. I just bought the Galaxy Book Pro 360. I don't know why, really, because I've got a Tab S11 Ultra with the keyboard case on, which is powerful, and a Tab A9.
So that's the Galaxy Book Pro is a Windows laptop, isn't it?
Yes. Right, yeah, okay. It's a Windows laptop. Like I say, I haven't got a clip. It's one of those things where you think, I don't need this, but I want it, so I ended up buying it.
That's an S Pen as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has an S Pen that, you know, it rolls over to 360 to a 15-inch tablet if you needed it. An i7 chip.
Is it the latest version?
No. I couldn't afford the latest version. It was on a good deal from our beloved CEX. I managed to trade a lot of stuff in, so it only cost me, I think, a couple hundred pounds really when I traded some stuff that just sits in the drawer. I've got the little Tab A9, which is sort of me take everywhere, chuck in my bag, you know, when you watch some media. I've also got the I bought the Galaxy Ring, and I bought the Galaxy Ring for a specific reason. That reason being, I love watches, and not just smartwatches. I love all sorts of watches. But for nearly 2 years now, a bit like Kev Wright, I've done over 10,000 steps every day and make it a point of walking 10,000 steps. Mm-hmm. Now, changing watches, changing phones, I thought, if I get the ring, doesn't matter what watch I wear, what phone I use, what phone I've got in for review, the steps are always recorded. And I've got to say, it really has sort of opened up my watch collection, both smartwatch and analog watch, shall we say. And I can change watches, I can change phones, and that's the reason why I've decided to use the Galaxy Ring, just to record that basic health data, because I didn't want to lose over 2 years of health data I'd got in Samsung Health.
So in order to, you say you can swap and change other devices, but the Galaxy Ring presumably relies on talking to a Galaxy device.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So, for example, if I've got, I've had different phones in, which I'll go through from on and on for review, as long as, I never wipe me fold, so as soon as I come home, the Ring will automatically sync with the fold and then send all the data up to Samsung Health. So it really doesn't matter what watch, what phone I use.
Okay.
I don't lose my data. And that was the sole reason for having that. And it was a bit of a whim purchase, shall we say. And it really is. For that purpose, it's opened up my older watch collection.
And that's got that's got a little box that it charges in, hasn't it? Yeah.
It's like a little jewellery box, and you just... Yeah. To be honest, I think I charge it every 4 or 5 days, and you just drop it on the little jewelry in the little little clear jewelry box, and it's charged up within 40-45 minutes, and then off you go again. So
cool.
It really does help. Other things, motivator wise, from Motorola, I've been told I'm having the Razer Ultra coming through next, which I quite look forward to. Never ever owned a flip phone, so. That's going to be interesting coming through.
That would be interesting. We should compare notes on that, because we have both kind of concluded that flip phones are not really for us if we've got a choice, Joe and I. But if you haven't got a choice, obviously you it's different. But it would be interesting to see what you end up saying, Ian, when you've had a go with it.
Yeah. Definitely. Never owned a flip phone, so that'd be my first time ever using one. Sort of device-wise, in on the site, I had both, like Joe, I had the Magic 8 Pro and the Magic 8 Lite in for review. And I've got to say, I preferred the Magic 8 Lite. I just felt that was a nicer device in the hand. Don't know why, it shouldn't be, you know. It's not a flagship, but I just thought the screen... was, with it being more flat screen compared to the... I just genuinely thought it was a nicer device in the hand. I'm not one of these people that look at a phone for the camera specs. If you can take a picture, you can take a picture. That's right here, there. But I just felt the Lite was a nicer device in the hand. I don't know what your final outcome was, Joe, between the two.
I definitely favour the 8 Pro, but the 8 Lite really surprised me. I liked it way more than I thought I was going to. And I could recommend it to a lot of people, definitely. Fantastic device.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I showed you, Joe, I had a Shift Phone 8 in for review. And this is the un-Googled phone, shall we say, that doesn't track you. Now, device-wise, certainly not a flagship. The camera was potato, but it made me realise one thing, how much our devices track you and serve you ads. So I set the device up with, I turned off all the tracking, all the data collection, and it made me genuinely feel I didn't feel like I was missing out on any of the day-to-day apps. I could find 95% of what I needed through Manuras or Mura's open source Play Store equivalent, and any sort of specific apps I could need, I needed, banking or something like that, it gave you an anonymous login to the Google Play Store to download them.
That's cool.
So, yeah, so I was able to literally run without any tracking, any webs. It got its own built-in VPN, its own kill switch. It was, the concept was really, really interesting and really good. And I've been contacted by them again this week, and they're bringing out a tablet on the same aspect with the privacy. So hopefully that will come in for review, and I can get a review up.
So what's the catch? There must be some downsides to this, isn't there?
There is, and the downsides, Ted, are you, the user, because we're so indoctrinated with Google services and the like. You've got to put the work in at the start and sort of unlearn the apps you normally go to, you know, default to Google Maps, default to Google search engine. Mm-hmm. You've got to sort of get yourself used to, right, now I'm going to use DuckDuckGo rather than Google. I'm going to use a different email client. I picked Thunderbird just because it was the easiest one to set up. And it's just like
that's cool where the,
yeah, that's where the sticking point, I think, will come. And will put a lot of normobs off buying it.
Not only normals, but someone that, like, I mean, that would really interrupt my workflow with Google, because I'd you'd have to basically start again, wouldn't you, on lots of those things. And it's one of the reasons that I don't really give a serious look to Sailfish and to the whole Ubuntu Touch thing, which I've got phones here with that on it. And I pick them up and I turn them on and I think, do you know, I can't be bothered with this because I've got so used to being baked into these services. The other thing to note here is that I went onto the pre-order for the Shift phone, and it's not cheap, is it? It's like 700 quid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think 700 euros. But one slight advantage to it is it's all user repairable. You can actually swap the battery with no tools at all. It's like the good old days, peel the plastic back off and the battery pops out, and you can just slide another battery in.
A bit like Fairphone,
Yeah, exactly. And I think Fairphone are doing a version with the same software in. And sort of moving on, that mindset has brought me into my app, which we'll go through later. I'm trying to move away. I've set up my own NAS at home now, so I'm putting my own music and film collection on my NAS. And I mean, DVDs are £1 now from CEX or the charity shop, so... The collection is growing.
Sorry, but this phone, going back to the, you know, sticking with the Shift phone for a minute, it also says that it's running Android 14. So your Shift OS is presumably the layer over Android 14. But you're not getting away from Google in that respect. It's still, you know, it's got Google stuff under the hood, hasn't it?
I think it's the AOS version of Android. It's not the full, because obviously there's the different layers of Android. There's the pure Android, then there's the Google version of Android, and then there's obviously Samsung's version, Honor's version,
But they're all skins, aren't they? AOSP version, I don't think we've seen it anywhere. The last place I saw that purely was on the Android One, on the Nokia XR20, but... I don't know. It'd be interesting to look into that and see what they're doing under the hood.
If the tablet comes, we can... I mean, the Shift phone's gone back now, but if the tablet does make an appearance, I'll certainly get in touch with you, Ted, and we can have a dig down into our DOS.
And I also noticed that they're using the same chipset as the Fairphone, the QCM6490, which should give it that 10 years of support with the Shift phone.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very similar to the Shift, the Fairphone.
Yeah,
the Shift phone is. I wouldn't be surprised if they shared a lot more components than just the chipset.
Very interesting.
And sort of moving on and wrapping up. If the Fold 8 wide version is actually real, Samsung just take my money. because I absolutely love the original Pixel Fold form factor. Absolutely love it. Surface Duo, love that form factor, and which I did until I tried to get mine from the Duo DE ROM back to Android 12, and I've bricked it.
Oh, dear.
Mike, if you're listening, I have sent you a message with a full list of what I've actually done. I've managed to put it in a boot loop where it's looking for the 2023 signature, but Microsoft will only let me download the 2022 image. So the device is just boot looping now, saying it won't accept it. So
I start calling him Dr. Warner now.
I spent a whole day trying to get it back, and I've had to join different Telegram groups and XDA forums, etc., to try and get it back. But back to, if that Fold 8 is a real device and it does come out, that will be just, for myself, perfect, because I love the wider form factor there rather than the tall and thin one that we've currently got with folding devices.
So do you find that the Fold 6 outside display is unpleasant to use, really?
No, I mean, I've got quite used to it now. I've got no issues with using it at all. But when I sort of pick up the Duo, that for me is the passport size that opens out is just perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the OG Pixel Fold.
Of course, I don't know if you've had a go with the Magic V5, which is Joe's favourite, but that's wider on the front, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it is a bit wider, yeah. It's more like the Fold 7, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
Ian?
I've had a V3. Okay. I got sent a V3 from Honor, and then Gary had the 5, but I never got the 5, so I haven't tried any of the newer ones.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you earlier. You were going on to say about your music collection and DVDs.
Yep. Just very quickly, as again, the shift phone made me think maybe we are giving too much to the big corporates. So I've moved my own DVD collection and music collection now to my own NAS at home. I use Plex to stream it to all my devices. And like you say, for a DVD from CX or the charity shops are only £1 now. So the collection, I think, is at 270 movies and growing strong. All the old 80s action movies.
Plex is great. When you've got Plex, a paid-up version of Plex, you can also just, as long as you leave your NAS or computer on at home, you can just stream whatever you want anywhere. Your whole collection, you can just use on your phone or your tablet or your laptop or whatever, wherever you are. As long as you're connected somewhere, you can get to it. It's really good.
Yeah, I missed out on the Lifetime Plex Pass. Offer that you're doing, but I have got the, because you need a sort of lower tier to stream out of the home, and I've got that one,
right,
which isn't much. I think it's about £20 a year, I think. But like you say, anywhere you go, you can go on holiday and you can stream all your music, you can stream all your movies, your TV shows, etc. So I really, really like Plex for that, and the NAS has really helped and made it a complete system.
That's according to Gareth Miles, my Tech Addicts co-host, that's my next job, is to get into NAS. He's got me into Plex, and he's got me into Linux Mint, and now the next job is NAS.
I've got to say, I didn't go mad with it. I bought a Synology NAS, and I think it's two 8 terabyte drives raided, so, and then it's got, I put a USB-C external drive on it, so because you've got a version of Synology Photos, which is a version of Google Photos, so that app is on my phone, it's on my wife's phone, it's on my son's phone, and they have their own sort of home within the NAS, and if my wife takes a picture and she wants to put it in our shared folder, I see it in my my photos app, etc., etc., and it's all seamlessly done.
Cool.
And then every night, the new photos, get backed up to the external drives, and then cleverly, it sends a backup to Google Drive. So I've got it backed up in three places.
good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the wide fold 8 version, have you thought about how much you're prepared to pay for this? Because I'm imagining when and if it does come, it's not going to be cheap, is it?
No, my only hope is that they do some half decent sort of trade-in offers, mm-hmm. Like they normally do in the first few days, and you can stack the trade-ins normally. Mm-hmm. So obviously the Fold 6 will go in, and then I think from the last couple of years, you could sort of put the main device in, a few £100, and then you could put a tablet in for a couple £100, and then it would say any phone for £100. So you can sort of, I noticed Samsung do that right in the first few days, I should say, that you can stack your trade-ins to get the overall price down. So we'll see.
Right, cool. Very good. So what else have we got here? What have you missed in your list? Anything I've missed there?
App wrap.
Are we on to the app wrap now?
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. So it's something from Classifiers you got.
Oh, no, we're doing that later. I've got Ian to move that down.
That he's already bought, I think. Is that something you've already bought, Ian?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved that down earlier. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry, Joe. It's in hand.
I'm not worried.
Right, so app wrap. Ian, what have you brought to the app wrap?
The app I've brought is an app called Weblo, which is W-E-B-L-O. This literally, and I don't know what it's like with your local news, where you are, Ted, where you are, Joe. Our sort of Staffordshire newspaper website is unreadable because of adverts. Yeah. There's pop-ups, there's video. Weblo will strip out all those adverts, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go on the Weblo app, you can actually add your own sites in. You can, and then it's got The Guardian, CNN News, BBC News, Sky, all those sort of sites are in there, and it literally takes out all of the adverts, every advert, and it just turns it into very much like a Feedly type viewing experience. And I picked this up from Shift Phone. That was one of the sort of apps within their app store, their open source app store, mm-hmm. and the developers now put it on the Play Store. Right. So that's why I've picked it for an app, because everyone can have a look at it. It's so good at taking out adverts. You don't need a private DNS or anything, just run Weblo and away you go.
I wonder if they get away with that.
Yeah, I was surprised Google accepted that.
Oh, yeah. And for example, there's a picture here of New York Times, who is basically a paywall, and they are somehow getting around the back of the paywall and letting people just go in there without, yep. Blimey, you would think that they would shut it down.
It certainly is my go-to app for news. Cool. Because the news feeds are terrible for just adverts galore.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll certainly have a look at that. And thanks for the tip. That's great. We'll put a link to that in the recording notes. Now, I want to leap down at this stage to, assuming you didn't have an app wrap app, Joe, did you?
No app wrapping for me today, sorry.
The PSC photos, I wanted to leap down here because we've got quite a lot of things kind of bubbling around in the PSC group. There was a suggestion in the group that on the weekly PSC show, and I'd like both your takes on this, that we should possibly do the same as we do on classifieds. Instead of just doing one picture, one photo to assess and look at and choose, that all three guests or two people or however many people are on the show pick a photo each. I'll get your thoughts in a second. My personal view is that it might make the feature too long, but having said that, maybe if people want that content, that the time taken up with that content, it won't be too long to do that. It will also rely on guests coming onto the show to kind of remember to do that and go and find one to bring to the show with them. Or perhaps they should bring one of their own or something. So, yeah, firstly, any thoughts on that? Ian?
I'd like to see that coming forward because we all like different things, and people bringing their sort of favourite might make you look at other photos that you would just normally flick over.
Okay, so if I'd said to you when you come on the shoot, don't forget to bring a photo, that would have been all right with you, would it?
Yeah, absolutely fine. Okay. I do check the photos regularly, so yeah.
Or even one of your own. Thoughts, Joe?
I mean, I love photography, so I'd be well up for that. I really love picking photos from Photo of the Week. And I really should have gotten more involved in the past. I always let you do it, didn't I?
Right, okay. Well, maybe we can try that then. We'll run a pilot on that. And from the next show going forward, we'll say, right, let's pick one each. We might have to kind of rush it along a bit to some degree, but pick one each, or the guests, or anyone could just bring one of their own, I suppose, and we'll go from there. Now, we've had some changes in the group after we did this poll about the way forward and location particularly. There was a thing that came up about people don't really like looking at photographs in the group unless the location is nominated. So we threw that one around a bit. Scott Brady offered to join as admin to try and monitor that and to point out to people with us where they have not nominated a location in a photograph where the location is pertinent. So that, and that's a woolly area, because between a, you know, picture of a still life on your desk, which doesn't really matter where it is, to a mountain in Thailand, then, you know, there's a big kind of gulf in the middle. So we'll have to see how we go with that. We also decided that we would reject the idea of a thumbs down emoji where someone doesn't like a photograph. So please don't use that. We also talked about content. There's a lot of people who are sick of repetitive locations, cats, dogs, lazy family snapshots, non-artistic photographs, or whatever. But the majority of people in the polls seem to be saying that they want it to be open, they want it to be anything goes, and if people want to post photographs, after all, art is in the eye of the beholder sort of thing, and people have to scroll past the stuff they don't want to look at. So to some degree, I think we've agreed to kind of turn a blind eye to anything that what we used to say was a kind of probably a lazy family snapshot. So we'll see how we go with that one. What else have we got? The picture of the week, picture of the month, picture of the year. People said they did want to continue, so that's fine. And the last thing, I think, was that we decided to open the chat area. Where people think that they want to just post a photograph of their granny holding their cat, if they don't think it's good enough to be posted in the main group, they could just stick it into the chat area. We did have the chat area open in that group some years ago, so I've opened it up again now, and it is rolling, and we'll see if people use it, if people want to use it, if they are putting stuff that's not for competition stuff in there, and we'll just see how we go with that. So a number of things that we've kind of ploughed through there. Any thoughts from either of you on any of that, or disagreement or support?
Well, I think, I don't know why anyone would put a thumbs down emoji anyway. I don't think I've ever seen it, thankfully. But it all looks good to me. I mean, yeah, I like the fact that we're doing all the photo of the week, month, year again, because that's very popular. Yeah, I think it's good. The chat bit, that's where I might stick my photos, because I don't put any photos on the main group anymore because I can't be part of the competition. So I might stick some shots in there.
I never thought of that, yeah. Ian, any thoughts on any of that?
No, I think it's cracking ideas, all of them. You never know, do you? Sometimes that one time you just pick your camera up and click it, it could be of anyone, family member, pet, outside. It could turn out to be a cracking photo. So I think no restrictions is the way forward.
Okay, anything goes, and we'll go with that. Just a reminder that the Photo of the Month competition is running for January in the group at the moment. So if you haven't voted for that, then do jump across into the group and do so. We want to encourage people to be voting in those things. If you want to have picture of the week and picture of the month and picture of the year, then please support it by voting so that it makes it kind of in some way meaningful. And last but not least, I picked a photograph of the week. Last time for the foreseeable that we're going to be doing just one, if we're going to go with this idea of picking three. And it's by Marikin. Oh, hang on a minute. Pawłowski. Marek Pawłowski, sorry, Marek. I'll call you. I'm going to call you Marek P.
Shall we just call him Marek P?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Another Aurora post. Anyway, is his shot. He took this on a Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra in somewhere in Norfolk, and it's a lovely dark night shot, effectively, with a sunset behind it, lighting on a post right up the middle of the thing, and a blue boat on the right hand side, and it really is ever so nice. He likes light, the painting with light, he says. I used to do that all the time, and it's really good. But the aurora is in the background, the sky, and etc. etc. Really nice photograph. Any thoughts, Ian?
For me, I don't know how he's done that with a camera phone, but for me, if the boat had just been a little bit darker, that's the only thing for me. It's sort of drawing your eye to two places where, yeah, I prefer it just to draw your eye to the post in the middle. So just tone the boat down a tiny bit, and then you've got all that focus on the whatever that is, the stick, the log in the centre and the aurora behind it. That would have been the icing on the cake. But that is an amazing picture. It really is.
Cool. Joe?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I think in terms of like the technical ability of the phone, you can see it's a phone shot. It's like a almost like a painting, but it works so well for this shot. It's stunning. Like it blew me away when I scrolled down earlier, didn't it? So yeah, it's wonderful.
The pink, the kind of dark red pink colour in the middle of the sky is just stunning. Mm. It really makes that whole centre of the picture set behind that log work very well.
Anyway, so Stranger Things.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's printable, that, isn't it? It is a printable picture.
Yeah, definitely. Very good. Right, okay, leaping about in the recording notes, we're now back to the news. And what a few bits of news that have rolled in this week that we can comment on. The Oppo Find N6 is officially launching on the 17th of January. When's the 17th of January? It's tomorrow, isn't it?
So the
February. Tomorrow is February. So what do we know about this? Have you had a look at this, Joe?
I haven't, but I've heard that the camera's rumoured to be good. And looking at it now, 200 megapixel main, 50 megapixel periscope telephoto, and a 50 megapixel ultra wide. I wish they swapped the periscope and main around. I think you need the extra megapixels with the periscope myself. But yeah, it looks rather good. 6,000 milliamp hour battery.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got the Hasselblad thing going on still with Oppo, haven't they?
Yeah. The X9 Pro is meant to be an excellent camera phone, so they're doing some good stuff, Oppo.
16 gigs of RAM. So much for the RAM shortage. 80-watt wire charging, so no Qi charging. Has your Honor got Qi charging? I can't remember.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
Okay, so they've missed that off on this one. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. If anyone of us gets one of them in for review. Do you have a relationship with Oppo, Ian, for reviewing stuff?
No, I don't, unfortunately, but that might look very much like a new Honor device. They're normally very similar, aren't they, when we get the Honor versions?
Yeah, I think that's going to battle with the V6. N6 versus V6.
Yeah.
Indeed. Right, Android 17 Beta 1 came out for my Pixel devices, and then they pulled it again, and then they put it back in again. So I have got it now running on my Pixel devices. And the things that it's supposed to bring, it's really odd, because that background to the at-a-glance thingy, I can get that on my Pixel Fold, original Pixel Fold, but I can't get it on the Pixel 9. My only Pixel device that I can remove at-a-glance altogether on is my Pixel tablet still. So all these changes that are supposed to be in Android 17 Beta 1, it depends, I think, what device you've got as to whether they've been pushed out to it or not yet. So your mileage may vary on that, but at least it has now arrived after it was pulled and then released again.
So what, Ed? Website needs that Weblow app, doesn't it? Loads of adverts on there.
Right. Which one's this? Android Headlines, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Samsung Galaxy S26 launch, one for you, Ian, maybe, on the February the 25th, so that's next week. And we were talking about this on the last show, I think, about the privacy screen thing. Any thoughts on that, Ian?
Yes and no. Why? I can't understand. I've got a very good friend that lives in the States, and why do they get such fantastic trade-in deals compared to us here in Europe? I think he had the S25 Ultra, after trade-ins and coupons and money off and Samsung credit, I think he paid $264 for it. I would love to see us get similar sort of trade-ins and reservations, but again, I'm tempted. I normally would. I had an S24, and then I normally wait a year, so the S26 Ultra would be the one I look at. But again, I'm waiting for that Fold Wide if it's a real device.
Yeah. In the meantime, you can just make do with your knackered Duo.
Just look at it.
Yes. Okay, Joe. Joe, it's time for Joe's throws. What have you got to throw in the mix?
I'm not going to throw too much in. My SIM is still in the Motorola Razr 60 Ultra, same as last week, so it's been in there long term. I'm aiming to get my review done this week, because I did script it ages ago, because I'm going to be sending it over to you, aren't I, Ted, so you can compare versus the 50. Mm-hmm. It's flip form factor's not really for me, but I have really grown to like this device. It is fantastic. I think it is overpriced. I'll check the price. It's gone back full price again on Noto's website. Great. Yeah, which was quite a surprise. I thought it would stay down at $899, but yeah, it's gone up. And talking of Moto, PR sending me over my Motivate device for first one for 2026. I'm going to be receiving the signature, which I'm really over the moon about. Hurrah. So I've got that till March 27th. So look forward to doing a good review of that one. I don't know which colour, but I don't really care, because it's more about the actual phone itself that I want to play with. I know you're a little bit jealous on that one, Ted, aren't you?
Yeah, and particularly when I found out that they were sending one out to, who was it? It was you, Ian, wasn't it?
No, I'm getting the 60 Ultra.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Someone else in our group. Oh, it was Gary Clark, I think. They were sending him out a signature as well, and I thought...
He's just joined the Motivator program, hasn't he? Yeah,
yeah, that's right. And I'm the odd man out. I'm the poor cousin here, because I'm only being sent an Edge 60 Neo, which I'm very happy about, but it's not quite in the same league as the signature.
No. Well, listen to this. I know a Motivate that's getting a G67, I think it is. So it's not so bad, Ted.
No. And I'll put a link in the show notes because GSM have just dropped their review on the signature. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that. Their general thoughts were that it was, really, really good, but it's stiff competition at £1,000. That seems to be what the price is, particularly from Honor, Magic 8 Pro, that kind of device, because some of the features are just better than the signatures. But we'll see. We'll see when...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, definitely. Yeah. I will be doing a video review on that at some point, before the 27th of March, or just after, maybe.
Cool.
But yeah, not much else to say. I haven't really been doing much else. Just working, which is always fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, while we've got Ian here, I'll just go through some of the... You sent me over your Magic 8 Lite, which Ian earlier said that he actually preferred to the non-Lite version. So I'll just go through some of my thoughts on my kind of initial days with that. The first thing to say is that it hasn't got Magic OS 10 on it. It's stuck on Magic OS 9, which as we know... kind of cuts out some of those nice feature changes that they fixed up in the 10 version. So that's a bit of a shame. I have to say that the Honor 400 Pro that I've got here does kind of outgun it to some degree in most departments, but the one place it doesn't outgun it is the battery, which is just staggering. 7,500 milliamp hours, and it just goes on and on and on. No Qi charging, but it just you can't kill it. It just sits there for days on end. It's also got 100 watt wire charging. It's a 3x optical zoom and autofocus on the wide angle camera. The design. I think the design of the 400 Pro is nicer. I don't particularly like the camera island being as it is. I think that the 400 Pro camera island is nicer, and also it feels kind of more big, and the corners are more square, and the 400 Pro is just a nicer shape overall, I think. It's also got 12 gigs of RAM, and this one's got 8. I know you can extend that out if you want to using the storage, but it's not the same. The chipset's not so good. But then, to be fair, this is £399, and the 400 Pro, at least on release, was £699, so... You know, it's like 75% more cost for the thing. What else have I got to say? Plenty of bloat on it, but most of it could be uninstalled, to be fair. The Honor apps, loads of those on there as well. But again, quite a lot of them can be uninstalled if you want to. The screen is amazingly bright. I'll come to both your thoughts on these points in a minute, but I was really impressed. And it's even brighter than the 400 Pros, and I thought that was staggering with its 6,000 nits. So that's really good. The speakers have got this 400% boost thing in them, and I did some testing on that against the 400 Pro. And the if you put it up to 400%, then yes, the speakers are louder than the 400 Pros at 200% boost, but they're not as good sounding. If you take the 400% and the 200% off, then the 400 Pro sounds better for volume and quality. So they're pushing the limits at the top there. And in some cases, depending on your file, you do get some kind of distorted stuff at the top end. The sound stage is really good, though. It's better than the 400 Pros. That's one thing I wanted to complain about was the always-on display, which is not always on.
It's very poor, yeah.
It's such a con. If you go into the settings, it's very, very clear. There's a big button there that says always-on display. And you go in there to turn it on, and it goes off after 5 seconds. There's no way to leave it on. You agree?
Yes, this is poor, actually. They need to really delete that wording out of the settings, because the other devices do have always on, true always on, but that setting's missing from the 8 Lite, isn't it? So, yeah, it's very naughty.
Very, very naughty, yeah. So, lastly, the battery. I tested the battery against the Edge 60 Pro's 6,000 milliamp hour. They're both silicon carbon, so they're comparable except in size. And, yeah, it's markedly better on the Honor. the 7,500 milliamp hour battery is just staggering. And I did some testing with always-on display apps as well, and the Honor, again, was more efficient. Laying aside the difference in the battery size, it was also more efficient with its 3,840 hertz PWM dimming, which you spoke about, Joe, on your review, on your thoughts on other devices from Honor. It's a nice phone. If you can focus in on the huge battery and make the most of that, I think that it's a good deal. Ian, to you first. Any thoughts on my thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. The battery life, when I had mine on in for a review, I just could not kill the thing. I liked when we went to Honor to the launch, how sturdy, how versatile it is. I never use mine cased, and I think for the money, the screen, amazing. That screen on that device is amazing for the money. Mm-hmm. And I think you don't need a case on it. You can chuck it in your pocket. It isn't that expensive. You can drop it on the floor. You can throw it in some water. It is like the Tonka toy of phones. And I really did like that screen. Was amazing. I can't get it over for £400 how good that screen.
Yeah, the value for money on the screen is fantastic. It's definitely one of the highlights for me, which is like the main thing you use on the phone, right? And decent speakers to match with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's a great device. I can easily recommend.
Yeah, definitely.
When I had mine in for review, I put it in the dishwasher.
Did you?
Yeah, I put it in the dishwasher and let it run a cycle, and it just did not bother it.
Wow.
I felt, you know, I even told Honor that's what I was going to do, and they went, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
No problem.
Should I try that with our one, Ted? I could turn the camera on to film it while it does it.
Yeah. You videoed putting it into boiling kettle water, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, I did, yeah, for 10 seconds, playing a video at the same time as well.
Yeah, it was, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you can't deny it. And on the video, you also showed people using a staple gun on the front glass. And
yeah, that's right, yeah.
Just stunning rigidity and, no, that's the wrong word, ruggedity.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a thin, rugged phone, like a rugged Air.
I will get back to it, Joe, I promise. But I really am annoyed by the fact that the Magic OS 10 is not on there. So every time I go to do something that I've got used to now using on my 400 Pro, it's not there yet. Urgh, come on. I'm going to wait until it's got Magic OS 10, and then I'll come back to it and finish what I'm doing with it.
Revisit.
But, yeah. And if you want it back in the meantime, I can send it back to you and we can move it all around again.
No rush, Ted.
Okay. As I said earlier, the other thing that I've got going on is this Edge 60 Neo, really, from the Motivator program. So I'm starting to do a kind of 50 Neo versus 60 Neo thing. With the best will in the world, I mean, basically it's the same phone. There are some changes. Mm. It's got a Gorilla Glass 7i screen on the front. It's got IP69 added to the ruggedness. That's the word, ruggedness. It's got the same 5 years of update. So because it's a year newer, it obviously goes up to a year newer, up to Android 20. It's got a MediaTek Dimensity 7400 as opposed to the 7300. I really don't think that's going to make much difference. But there you go. UMPC storage, which is apparently faster and more robust. Bluetooth has gone up from 5.3 to 5.4. The most significant update probably is the battery, which has gone from 4,310 to 5,200. I think might be the key factor that people will focus in on. Because you know, people do. And to be honest, though, I've lost my train of thought now. Oh, yeah. To be honest, though, the battery on the 50 Neo is absolutely fine. I'm really impressed with it. I've got no complaints about it at all. So if they're going to make it even better, then so be it. The other thing is the cost. At the moment, it's £379 RRP on Motorola's UK website. And it is, last week it was on sale for £269, but I noticed yesterday that it's now gone back up to £299. But certainly, it's on a reduction already, which is incredible. But that's coming in, and I shall put that through the paces. It might be a simple update on my previous review, really, because there's just not a huge amount different on it, frankly. Any thoughts, Joe?
That's not such a bad thing, is it? Because you really enjoyed the 50 Neo, so
yep.
Hopefully that battery, giving you even extra, even more battery life, will win you over.
One of the things that I do notice with it is that the fingerprint scanner's not very good. So it's an under-glass fingerprint scanner, and very often I have to leave my finger on that longer than I want to, but the face unlock is really good, so that kind of makes up for it. Anyway, we shall see. So we've all got Motorola's coming in, and watch this space, I guess, and see what we find with each of these. Okay, then, so where are we now? Now I've been leaping about uncontrolledly through the site. Let's go to classifieds now, shall we? And a quick reminder to everyone to say that we do have a PSC classifieds MeWe group, but it is controlled. We do not just let anyone in, and the directory at MeWe doesn't find it for that purpose. So if you want to join our community classifieds, then you can drop me an email and we can talk about it. And we, at this stage, normally do a pick each, but to be honest, it's quite slim pickings again this time. Yogesh Puri has got an iPhone 17 in black mint condition with three cases, £705, which was my pick. You found something, didn't you, Ian?
I did. Yogesh is going to be rich if we both have this. I'm going to go for his Garmin Epix Pro again. My weakness for watches, and I've never owned a Garmin watch.
Yeah. They speak well of them, don't they?
They certainly do.
Those people that know. Did you find anything left for you, Joe?
There's a few bits and bobs. There's a Switch version 2, £110. What else did I see? I did see something else. I like Dan Carter. He's put some nice phone numbers up for grabs. There's a couple of £15. If you want a different number, one's 559985. I quite like that one, as I was born in 85. But yeah, there's not a great deal on there, is there? There's a MetaQuest, actually, MetaQuest 3 for 260. But yeah, phone show chat. None of us got phones.
Yeah, I've contacted him about the Quest. My lad's after one for his uni college work, but he needs a specific one that'll do a specific thing, and he was on about HDMI capture cards and sideloading this app and that app, and I've just said, well, just let me know if it's what you want.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, yeah, it is kind of... I wonder why it's gone so quiet lately. It's really odd. Is it a winter thing, I wonder? People are kind of not so... Perhaps in the summer it'll pick up again. I don't know.
I'm surprised we haven't seen some S25 Ultras on there with the upcoming 26 Ultra.
Yeah.
But perhaps they're waiting to see what
Unless
they get
people are waiting
on trade.
To see what they get traded.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, anyway, the classifieds is there. If you want to join, drop me an email. And last shout goes to Jeremy Harpham again, the PubMeet data, which he's trying to collect. Link in the show notes to that. There's a URL which goes to the post in the MeWe group. If you haven't joined the MeWe group, you won't be able to get to the link unless you subsequently join the MeWe group. So just to explain that, the link is in the show notes. If you already belong to MeWe, you'll go straight to his post. If you don't belong to MeWe, you'll get a page come up saying join MeWe, and as soon as you join MeWe, you can of course get to the post. So let Jeremy know what you think about PubMeets, and we'll see what goes. I think he'll, like we were saying just now for the classifiers, maybe he'll get more response as the weather gets a bit warmer and people are thinking, I'm not going out in this weather. So,
yeah.
Nomad Tech Project, a big plug for Sam and Joe, as always. Great to see you last night again doing your stuff. And that's really good. So have a check out on that on YouTube. We'll put a link in the show notes, as always. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. And if you want to buy a copy for me, it's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy one for Joe, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. links to all the stuff we've been talking about today is in the show notes, in your podcatcher, but also on our website. The website address I just gave you, it's at podhubuk and tedsalmon.com. I think I've run out of things to say now, and my voice is probably going to be dead. Thank you so much, Ian, for joining us. It's been great to chat with you again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And hopefully we'll get you back on the rotation sometime soon and catch up with what you've been sent and what you have bought and what you're reviewing and whether or not Samsung bring out the Passport device. It'll be great to get your take on that if they do, certainly. And Joe, thank you for joining me as always. Any last words from you about anything?
Always a pleasure. I think we should just plug Cool Smartphones one more time. I'm sure everyone's already checked it out before, but if you haven't, do go check it out.
Absolutely.
Some great stuff on there.
There is, and I'll put a link in the show notes to that routinely under Ian's name as well. So we'll go with that. And, yeah, definitely worth a look. And thank you, gents, for joining me. So we'll be back next week. I think we might be back next week with our little experimental show. We'll let you know all about that one in due course. And Joe and I will probably sneak an extra one in next week. So hopefully we'll see you then. And until then, take care, everyone.